Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 113. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Sean and Nate, how is it going?
It's going pretty well.
Oh, wait a minute. That sounds like he's not here.
He is not here.
I kept looking.
I'm in a can.
You talking in a trash can?
I need a can opener, don't I?
You doing all right, Sean?
I'm still here. I'm just stuck. I'm stuck outside the studio. I'm in our old studio, which I think I know I said that in our poll episode. But, yeah, I've been a little under the weather. And the weather was not fantastic. But the family and I have gone through a stomach bug, and we are getting over it. So I decided not to to give you the gift of sickness this week and stay away. But it is definitely different.
Good call. That was a good call.
Not down with the sickness.
Not down with it. Yet.
No.
That is true words have never been spoken. But it is weird being remote.
No, I bet. This is the first time.
Officially, yeah.
So, yeah.
Are you being remote controlled?
Kind of. Yeah, I'm here with the kids and Jenna, so of course.
Are they listening?
I think they have been on and off, but I'm really not. I heard Jenna shush him a couple times, and Jude tried to bark a few times, and so they've been behaving him.
You can put Jude on. Hey, you know, he could be another
co-host. He won't let me stop petting him if I have him in here.
I bet. Nate, you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm engineering the heck out of this.
Yeah, he's earning his zeros. Do you hear that? Yeah, I'm engineering the heck out of this.
Having to be on the sensor button for me?
That's right.
Always.
That's right.
The trick is I just keep your mic off.
Hey, that's a good idea.
I've been saying that forever. I mean, now you listen to me. Welcome, creepies. Yes, Sean is remote for the first time. He has not been feeling well, but hopefully you are back on the mend. Mr.
Right.
Sean, we have a little segment for the mini, as we call it the Creeped Out Shout Out, or Creeped Out Shout.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you do that for us, please?
For this first Creeped Out Shout, this week we're going to mention our good friends Brett and Carl from the Evil Never Dies podcast. They are very knowledgeable about hard rock, heavy metal, and that genre of music, and they do know their stuff about horror movies. Find them on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook, and you can listen to their podcast on all listening platforms. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. Tell them the Mako Boys told you or sent you, right?
Excellent. So, yes, listen to the Evil Never Dies podcast, and this is something we'll do most of the minis, not every single one, but we'll give creeped out shout outs for our friends and, promote them a little bit. And hopefully whatever, if they're authors, podcasters, investigators, and whatever they got going on, they have some more followers and listeners and all that good stuff. So, yeah, very
like
good.
It.
That was our initial.
That's cool.
That was our, that's right, our inaugural creeped out shout out.
Brett and Carl are the first ones.
Yes. So I'm going to turn it back over to you again to tell what are we going to talk about?
Well, I'm going to give credit to you because this is your pick, and it is the Heritage Square Museum, which I am unfamiliar with, or at least was before researching it.
I as well. Nate, did you know anything about it?
Negative.
3 for 3. All around the table, none of us heard about it. Yeah, so to be honest with you, I cannot remember how I came across it. I do not know. But it's very cool, and it's some place that we'd like to visit. So you want to give a little foundation on this location?
I do. Heritage Square Museum explores the settlement and development of Southern California during its first 100 years of statehood through historic restoration and preservation. The 8 historic structures located at the museum, is it 8 or 9? Because I thought, some places I thought it said 9, but the 8 historic structures located at the museum constructed during the Victorian era were saved from demolition and serve as a perfect background to educate the public about the everyday lives of Southern Californians from the close of the 19th century into the early decades of the 20th century. Over the past 50 years, Heritage Square has been acquired and begun the restoration on 8 historically significant buildings from different Los Angeles neighborhoods. It's located on acres of period-appropriate landscape grounds, and the museum is the place where history comes alive. I like it.
That's right. I have 9. I have 9 locations.
That's what I thought, too, yeah. So there's, apparently they saved 9.
They're liars. No, I'm just they're lying.
I thought it was 9, too.
Yes, I have 9. I don't know how I came across this area. It's very interesting, and I think it's cool. Again, what we talk about a lot on the show is, you know, places that have been preserved. They're being remodeled and kept instead of being leveled, and this is an area that they wanted to do that. They wanted to kind of get rid of this, and there's a lot of history in these different buildings in this Heritage Square Museum. I'm going to list them real quick, and then we can tell stories about whichever ones we've got. The Hale House, that's the most. I'm going to say it in my opinion. I think it's the most talked about. The Hale, H-A-L-E, Hale House. I want to make sure people aren't thinking I said Hell House. The Valley Knutson Garden Residence, the John Ford House, Dr. Osborne's Carriage Barn, the Palms Depot. Next is the Lincoln Avenue Methodist Church, the William Hayes Perry Mansion, the Longfellow Hastings Octagon, and the Colonial Drugstore. So how about that? I say, how about that?
There's a whole, what the heck about that, right?
They're all very beautiful. I don't know. I looked at a lot of pictures because mm-hmm. there's so many buildings, and they're beautiful.
It's like stepping back in time.
Yeah, that's what they wanted to do. That's exactly right. So there you go. That's our episode. No, just kidding. I read off the different locations. If any of you, either one of you guys, fine gentlemen, I say, want to start with a story, or if you have any information, because I've got plenty.
My favorite one was the Octagon House. Being in LA, this is kind of, I mean, it goes back to, we'd say yesteryear, you know, but it really is, it is frozen in history, but I like the fact, and frozen in time, but I like the fact that they're preserving this part of history for sure. But this Octagon House was built in 1893, and declared, January 20th of 89. And the Longfellow Hastings House, also known as the Octagon House, is a historic octagon house previously located at 85 South Allen Avenue in Pasadena, California. The house was designed and built in 1893 by a Gilbert Longfellow, who had previously built a house similar on the Atlantic coast. The two-story house has a frenzy and dentilated Cornish and was originally surrounded by a veranda. It is one of the few octagon houses remaining in the western United States. The house was added to the National Register of Historic Places in 82 and was moved to the Heritage Square Museum in the mid 1980s.
Nice. Yeah, these places, like I said, we said 9 of them. They're all different, interesting. They all have different stories. What is cool about this is, the history and the architecture and all that. But guess what? It has a little paranormal, a little scariness, Nate. And I said,
you don't say.
I do say. And an interesting group that has been to this place is not only then the Osborne family. That is right. Ozzy Osborne's kids, yes. The Osbornes and their new show, this is as of 2020. I'm not sure if it's still around. But they had, a new show called The Osbournes Night of Terror. It was on the Travel Channel. It had originally aired on October 30th, which is my lovely bride's birthday. The entire Osborne family, they got together for a ghost hunt of the Heritage Square Museum. So just as fun as it is frightening, this landmark, which is believed to be the most haunted hotspot in L.A., has never been investigated for television before. I think that'd be cool. Says, fortunately, Jack is quite an experienced paranormal investigator. After all, he did start on the Travels Portals to Hell. Real quick, did you guys see any of that, his Portals to Hell?
No, I never did.
I did not, no.
I would have loved to, and I guess we could probably still find them, and I would imagine on YouTube. I never did. Yeah, I wanted to, and I just never got around to it. But anyway, so said how so where am I at? Which also debuts this new special episode on the same night. Okay, says however, it is his sister Kelly's first foray into the paranormal, and she is just as scared as she is willing. Says Sharon and Ozzy stay back home and monitor the action from a distance. The result is a combination of classic Osborne antics, I bet, along with an interesting lesson about the historical homes of L.A. It says located, it's in the Montecito Heights neighborhood. You know, of course, it's devoted to exploring the settlement, like you said, Sean, and development of Southern California during the first 100 years of statehood. And then it goes on to list the places. Says, while the grounds of the museum are beautiful, the Osbournes soon learn there's a sad and sinister history of the people who once inhabited these homes. While Sharon and Ozzy remain equally concerned and skeptical, Kelly, along with her loyal dog, Polly, find herself in the fright of her life. Says, but it's business as usual for Jack, who was more than happy to talk about his near decade of investigating haunted properties. And then just the article just gets in there, like, how did he start liking the paranormal? So I think that's cool that they are the first ones to investigate this area, these beautiful homes, for paranormal reasons. So it's interesting.
That seems only fitting, especially their connections to L.A., right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's fun that, you know, Ozzy and Sharon stayed back. And I would imagine probably because of, you know, Ozzy's health and getting around. But they could still be a part of the show, just monitoring from home. So I think that's kind of neat, you know. So
I still can't believe how great he sounds.
Oh, I know.
And how poor his health is, but that he can still – and I'm sure there's a bit of – manipulation with the, you know, what they have to do to make him sound that good, but he still got it. You know, I never ceases to amaze me.
No, I know. I mean, because he's like 70. What is he, about 70?
He's lucky to be alive. Four. I don't know what he is, honestly.
70. I mean,
something like that.
Yeah. So he's, I mean, he's a good 20 years older than me and about 30 years older than you, Nate. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think he's, and with all the stuff he's done, like, he's had a heck of a ride. He's lucky to be alive.
74.
I know. Okay.
74. Right.
That is, wow, that's 4 years older than me.
I love you, Samazi, though.
Oh, I know. I know. So the hauntings of Heritage Square. I'm really having a hard time. So it says, you know, if you were to grab the passenger seat in a friend's car, maybe that one friend who is obsessed with all the cable shows about creepy castles and haunted houses and real-life ghost sightings, and if that friend were to drive you around asking you to point out the areas that were most likely to be haunted, says, what would you choose? It says, well, the Magic Castle, obvious, right? The Queen Mary. We've talked about the Queen Mary. But then it says, maybe the few of the Addams Family-esque abodes of Angelino Heights. But it says, but the most, I'm sorry, but you have to give the nod to Heritage Square. It says they are... Let's see here. The handsome grouping of Victorian era mansions and buildings may just be yards from the Zoomy 110 freeway, but they're far from, I'm sorry, I cannot read tonight, but they're far and forbiddingly apart from our modern non-ghost LA lives. They have a lot of things going on during the Halloween time. They have festivals, rituals, they do funeral rites. So I'm glad that they have things to do with it. You know, not just, tours and all that is helps preserve them, but they actually have, you know, especially around the spooky season, they like to do different things. And I love that. And so if you've got nine locations.
I saw that too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw that with the Halloween, they have Cemetery Lane through there. And
yes,
that's really
cool.
And
yes.
It's very protected too, since it's all gated and preserved, that they definitely advertise it as something safe for kids to do. But it looks like they go all out. Like you said, they have a lot of cool events throughout the year, and not just the spooky season, but it is cool. I think that would be so nostalgic to do trick-or-treating and any kind of a Halloween event along there. But I love the fact that it's called Cemetery Lane across there, or along there.
Yeah, and they can do, they do like trick-or-treating, you know, you know, like in a safe way for kids. So I'm like, man, that'd be a cool place to do trick or treating. Now I wish I was, you know, 10 years old again. What do you got, Nate? Do you have anything?
The Hell House was saved from the wrecking ball on the 11th hour. of the Heritage Square folks at the cost of $1.
Wow. Wow. That was the Hale House?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool. Can you imagine that, though?
Like, it cost $10,300 to move it, though.
Wow. $10,300. See, mm-hmm. I have no idea. I don't know if that's good or bad. It sounds like a lot, but I have no idea. That's, yeah, that was built in 1887 by George W. Morgan at the foot of Mount Washington in Highland Park. It's considered the most photographed house in the entire city. Very interesting.
It cost $300,000 to renovate it.
Ooh, I bet. I bet, bet, bet.
They call it the crown jewel of that area, too, of those heritage houses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a big, that's the one that gets talked a lot about as far as haunting goes. It says, now this is one of the houses that has a lot of living within its walls, and there seem to be many spirits in the house, including an adolescent girl. During several sessions with this group called the PX, the home was alive with characters coming through to speak. The PX was sitting on a table saying cards, frog, and rabbit, toy items that were actually on the table as one of the home's displays. And it said they could feel the house had been used for seances in the past. That's one thing that kept coming up in a lot of these houses are seances. Throughout the event, they were hearing noises in the kitchen as if someone was working away making a meal, but there was no one there. In the upstairs bedroom, they were able to hear audible breaths that came from the area of the bed where there was no one standing or sitting. They picked up several things on their digital recorder. Back downstairs, they kept hearing sounds of someone walking up and down the stairs, but the actual investigators had already come down. Mm. So it says definitely that people feel that it is one of the more haunted of all the houses.
That's cool. Yeah, the Perry Mansion, they say, is also probably the best known for most widely promoted for its specters. But what about the ghosts of the houses that were lost? Two of the last remaining Victorian houses from Bunker Hill, the Salt Box and the Castle, were saved from the demolition and brought to the city-owned parcel of land in Montecito Heights. The lack of security, though, resulted in both being burned down to the ground just months after their arrival. Says with their destruction, nothing was left of Bunker Hill, and if there were any ghosts that came to Heritage Square with these Victorians, they were left to roam elsewhere. Maybe the ghosts at Heritage Square are those of the Bunker Hill buildings themselves. That's sad. I mean, I guess they couldn't save them all. You know? Saving nine of them is good enough, I guess.
Yeah, luckily they got those.
Yeah. The Hale House, yeah, I think that's, yeah. That's my stomach's growling. That's the one I'd like to check out. But they're all pretty. You know, they're all beautiful. They all have the same, what do they call it, the Victorian design.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And folks say that they see specters roaming around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they're wondering if they came from the Bunker Hill houses that burnt.
Yeah, because you would think if that house had, I mean, it's going to have the same amount of history.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they got to go somewhere, right? So maybe they, you know, there's still nine places left. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, mm-hmm. In all seriousness.
Yeah, I guess this house will do.
I guess we can just stay here since our place was burned down. Let's see here. The Heritage Square is open on weekends. It's open 12 to 5 Saturday and Sunday. They do have ghost tours. They have stories for every house.
And with that being said, I have one story from the Shaw House.
Okay.
A paranormal team went in there, and they're doing spirit box exercises. At 2:09, they were talking and getting a voice from the spirit box with a single word, verboten.
Oh.
Which is a German word for forbidden.
Right.
This is defined as a word used especially by an authority. So we're being told that some authority frowns upon spirit interactions with humans in this house. At 3:08, they were going around the group counting one number per person, and occasionally go out of sequence to see if the spirit corrected them. As they're counting, there is a voice from the spirit box that says, "That's enough." Next, the voice says, "Enough, please leave us." So perhaps verboten was correct. As we continue, two voices from the spirit box, one female and one male, say 7 and then 20. There's the voice of a boy saying, "Mom," as well. I say, "I thought I heard a female say 21. And a voice from the spirit box said, "I did." Then another spirit box voice says, 8. And another voice says, "Hello." At 1600 minutes, or at 16 minutes into the session, in the parlor room of the Shaw House, the question is asked as to what was the name of their first child. We got 4 names. Let's see. Agnes, Kramer, Brooke, and Carmen. We get the word romantic as well. At 19 minutes into the session at the Shaw House, the question was asked of how many nurses did the doctor have helping him? Spirit box voice says, in an older woman's voice, 4.
Hmm. That's a lot of activity. Mm. A lot of yeah.
EVPs. Intelligent,
yeah.
Activity.
Yeah, right.
Interacting, talking.
Right, responding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the thing that I think on those EVPs is when they actually respond to what's.
And it's logical.
Right.
It's not just nonsense.
Right. That makes sense. I like that. That was good.
You had me at German, though. That's verboten.
Verboten? Yeah.
I had a fun review that was a little more lighthearted, but it's actually kind of interesting about the area. And it's a 5-star review, all this and a kitty too. It says, "I grew up watching the mansions on Bunker Hill get torn down or taken away. L.A. local Leo Poletti was a contemporary artist of my youth. Visiting this unique museum park was interesting and a step back in time. It showcases several different styles of once opulent houses from a Victorian Los Angeles. The guides are full of information and entertain with colorful stories of days gone by. The interior tour visits several of the buildings, which are being carefully restored. It's popular, so you have to book in advance. The octagonal home is particularly interesting as it was once a popular design but fell from favor. 3 such structures survive up in San Francisco. A well-stocked gift shop is an added bonus. Check out the Victorian morning soap. And the park's resident feline, a handsome ginger tom named Bellboy, wanders here and there to delight the guests. If you like historical homes or architecture, this is for you. And the surrounding neighborhoods, Montecito Heights and Mount Washington, are a feast of hidden architectural treats." So that's kind of cool. I had no idea about any of this.
Me neither. I'm going to end it on this one. So going back to our the family, the Osborne family that we like, this is good. It says, so they asked Sharon about visiting. She is quoted saying, "I would love to go to the Heritage Square, as I love old houses, but I don't want to meet anything like a demon," Sharon said. I like this next quote. "I live with enough darkness in the house without Jack earning a living this way." So, yeah. She said, so it said from the start, Sharon was concerned about Kelly, who, since she was a child, had been sensitive and emotional. Kelly does get scared easily, Jack said. "She's an easy one to scare, but I've never really done haunted, spooky stuff with her before. So we'll see." It says Kelly was skeptical of the paranormal equipment her brother gave her to work with, including a melmeter. I've never heard that one. Which a melmeter measures both electromagnetic fields, and she calls a bull, you know what, beeping thing. But she said, "I'm going to hold it and pretend I know what I'm doing." Upon entering one of the homes, Kelly immediately felt an empathic connection to the energy in the house that gave her a headache and made her nauseous. "I didn't think it was going to be as physically impactful as it was. That was weird," she said, "and it got weirder when she returned. She says, get me the F out of here right now, she said, scurrying out after an encounter with a spirit that she'll never forget. It said, Sharon, as we mentioned before, Sharon and Ozzy watched from their home, worried sick about their kids, while Ozzy was screaming at his kids on the monitor, get out, get the F out of there, go, go. Jack was beaming. This place is insane in the most brilliant way. It says, I was either expecting Kelly to be absolutely terrified and not willing to do anything, or such a naysayer, again, the naysayer, and like thinking it was odd, but yet I was really very proud of how she got into it, Jack said of his sister. I think she would do it again. Yeah, I got to be careful, though, because you know she's pretty good at it. She might make she might make my job. Do you wish that we had gone with them? Sharon and Ozzy asked, and they said, no effing way, is what Ozzy said, without hesitation. And it said, Jack called the location easily one of the most active locations he's ever personally investigated, and that's saying something. Kelly, meanwhile, learned something about the afterlife that, because of her ghostly encounters at the Heritage Square, was sunk in and quite deeply. The number one thing that I've taken away from this investigation is that you should not mess with the dead, she said. That's cool. So, wow. Yeah. I wonder when Sharon said she was sensitive and all that, like, meaning open, I mean, where she could see, hear stuff from paranormal. I don't know. They didn't really expand on that, but that's cool. Yeah, so sounds like she might be hooked a little bit on the investigative stuff. So,
yeah.
There you go. Anything else, guys?
I don't think so. I'd love to visit here, though. I think we have to go, if nothing else, to just find out some of these paranormal stories, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I like to take a tour. Put that on the list, Sean.
And I do. I wish the cat was a ghost cat. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all right, though. He's probably a cool cat, though. You know, maybe not a ghost cat, but a cool cat. Well, that's all I've got. Yeah, right. Mr. Nate, what do you have for us?
Before we get cat scratch fever, that's a wrap.
Well, awesome. I love that song, by the way. little Ted there.
Ted Nugent would be proud.
Uncle Ted. Hey, we want to thank our creepies, as always, for listening to Middle Age Mini number 113 and our historical and spooky discussion on the Heritage Square Museum. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See ya.